Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 30th of November, and I'm recording at 10:25 p.m., and that is Greenwich Mean Time here in slightly damp and windy London, but very warm. Okay, so where do we actually stand with these markets? Well, the main point that I was making last week was that stock markets, having gone from oversold levels in mid-November, had rallied back up to overbought levels and also near some prior resistance on the overall charts. So they were likely to see some reaction and consolidation, but we did not need to worry too much, provided the mid-November lows were not seriously challenged. Now, that certainly hasn't happened yet, but we can't rule out the possibility because we still have those overbought readings and markets have shown a little loss of form in here, having just sort of stalled near the higher side of the second half of November rally, and I'll run through some of them here for you. Taking the Asia Pacific region, these are mostly lower. Now, the Japan Nikkei 225 was down 0.2 percentage point. The Hong Kong indices were down 1/3 to 2/3 percentage point. The China mainland indices, however, were a little higher, 0.25 point higher for the Shanghai Composite Index, and that after a sell-off earlier in the day. Now, elsewhere, the main decliners, Taiwan down just under 1%, South Korea considerably more, down 1.82%, and we had Indonesia down 2.5%. The only plus side, other than the mainland China indices, was we had a tiny gain on the Indian Sensex index, but that was offset by a tiny loss on the Nifty 50 index. If I turn to Europe, these were mostly higher, although they closed before Wall Street weakened somewhat. And among the gains, Germany, looks like Germany had one of the better gains, up 0.75 percentage point here, just exceeded by Sweden's gain of over 0.9 percentage point. European Euro stocks, rather, 50 index up 0.5 percentage point. So not too bad in the European region. UK FTSE 100 down 0.3 percentage point, partly because of the resources, weakness of the resources. Now, on Wall Street, we sort of seesawed a little bit on the day. Mostly, though, it was a little bit in the red, and closed down just under 0.5 percentage point for the Dow and the S&P 500, and just over 0.3 percentage point for the Nasdaq Composite Index. But the key point I need to mention here, if you look at the stochastic indicators, which show short-term overbought and oversold conditions, we do have these short-term overbought readings here. And I described it a little bit earlier in this broadcast as saying we had that persistent rally from those mid-November lows, and then it just stalled just near prior resistance. And now we're giving ground a little way in here, and it would take a good strong upward dynamic to suggest that the consolidation was over, but I doubt that we'll see that here very quickly. And just because in the normal play of markets, they get overbought and then you get some ranging consolidation, even if it's an overall bullish pattern, that can last, several weeks quite easily. Okay, I'm not too concerned here beyond the risk of a near-term pullback in this consolidation. But as I say, I won't worry really unless we see those mid-November reaction lows taken out. And I think that's unlikely because we have favorable monetary conditions, we have favorable seasonal conditions here, we have favorable US electoral cycle conditions. And yeah, we've got the problems in the Middle East. Certainly, there's a lot of tension there. And we've got the slow growth concerns. And incidentally, I just say on this slow growth, commodities are such an important factor in all this. Now, consumers and a lot of businesses, of course, benefit from these low commodity prices. But that's a benefit that's widely diffused and spread among a great many people, in other words. However, what countries, developed countries, are also seeing is that the resources exporting nations are under such pressure here right now that they are certainly not able to buy very much, if anything at all, from the developed economies. Now, that might not be too serious if it's a small commodity exporting nation, but if it's one of the bigger exporting nations, for instance, consider all the defense spending that some of these Middle Eastern countries, particularly Saudi Arabia, would be engaged in. Well, that's really grinding, or perhaps has already ground to a halt in here, just due to necessary cutbacks that we're seeing from these countries. So really, in terms of the whole global economy, one of the best things that could actually take place would be to see a decent rally in commodities, and we certainly aren't getting that just now. They remain weak, and we are also seeing commodity indices here today just edging a little bit lower. So they're very oversold overall. This is pressuring even the really high quality, very diversified, deep balance sheet miners. I'm thinking of the likes of BHP, which has had the problem of that serious remember that burst dam that had a serious accident spreading a lot of pollution. And probably the steadiest one in this environment right now is Rio Tinto, but they're all under pressure for for certain, and they will remain under pressure until we see a significant rally in commodity prices. Meanwhile, it's a matter of who can hold their dividends. I think BHP are being challenged in that department. I would be pleasantly surprised if they are able to hold their dividend throughout next year. I would say that's probably unlikely, that they are more than likely to favor the balance sheet overall rather than a big payout, which is over 9%, I believe, here right now. Okay, now looking elsewhere, government bonds, cautious. Looking at that US 10-year, it's at 2.206%, and the VIX on this Wall Street weaker tone in here today, the VIX rose a point and is at 16.13. Now, elsewhere, a concern is certainly the US dollar, which is trading at 100.220 as I speak. It goes on trading here well after US stock market close. So that is a little higher in here today, and it's holding this ground near the 100 level overall because we have the virtual certainty of that US quarter point hike. And that, as I've said before, will be a good case of will we see, buy the rumor, sell the news here? Will it weaken after that? I think people are exaggerating the scope that the Fed has to the upside. In an ideal world, which you never have, the Fed could easily justify higher interest rates if the rest of the global economy was in a similar position to the USA, but it's not. And so the USA has, of course, ended the active QE, although it hasn't sold any of those investments that they made while the QE was going was ongoing. So you could say in that respect, its process is not over. But they're not continuing with their buying of bonds, I'll put it that way. Whereas a lot of other countries are, and a lot of other developed countries, not least in the within the EU, the Eurozone, and also Japan. But there are other countries involved in QE. As well, and that's certainly going to be continuing in 2016. So the U.S. is understandably concerned about the dollar going up too much. Anybody who's borrowed in dollars will certainly also be feeling the heat from that strong dollar overall. And but going back to the Fed's position or investors' position, it is a restraint on earnings for the very attractive, on a long-term basis, global autonomies. Because their overseas earnings, which are consolidated in US dollars, are inevitably going to be somewhat weaker than they would be if the dollar was not so strong. And the dollar is pretty well strong against everything, right across the board. Here's some examples here today. Sterling, well, actually, sterling is a little bit higher, up 25 cents at 1.5060. The euro bound to be a little bit lower. It is 1.0567. I think we will see that euro move lower in here. And the Australian dollar is at 0.7226, and the Chinese renminbi and the Indian rupee are also generally weak overall. The Indian rupee, it hasn't fallen all that much, but it's near its lows of the year. Basically, it's been pretty steady among Asian Pacific currencies, but not against the US dollar. That's the point I'm trying to make here. And getting back to these commodity markets now, I said the indices were a little lower. A lot of soft commodities seem to be down today, although not soybeans and corn. They're a little bit firmer. But I'm looking at sugar, weaker, and cocoa, weaker, coffee. Coffee's being hit here today. Let's see, lumber also lower. So a number of these are lower. Crude oil also down a tiny bit, and that was steadier. Here this morning, so it's lost those gains. For instance, the Brent, which is the most important of them, is currently at 44.57. That's down 29 cents. It was this morning, it was reached a high of 45.71. 5. So we're talking about a dollar and a quarter lower than its high on the day, and it's quite close to its low on the day. So these are still very, very soft in here. That is less a reflection on global consumption than it is a reflection on global production. And that is pretty well true of all commodities. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.